Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I am Gary Dahl, and I want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company as we gather together today on this Friday, which happens to be the, can you believe this? It's the 16th day of October already. Ladies and gentlemen, we are into the second half of the month of October, getting closer to snow flurries. In fact, here in the northeastern part of the country, they claim we could see some snow flurries tonight. So get your snow shovels ready. Anyway, we are delighted to have you all with us. And Sam, next week this time, you will have spent almost a week over in Ukraine. Why don't you tell us about what you're expected to do, or at least what you expect to do?
All right, Gary, I'll be glad to do that. Yes, it's a most amazing thing that that God has done with the American Pastors Network. And without going into an awful lot of detail, to say that for just about a year and a half now, we and a group of individuals with the American Pastors Network have been intimately involved in working with pastors in the Ukraine and with government officials based on their request, and that is to help them. Gary, you and I were there for the first summit, and you recall very much what it was, but the request was that we come and help teach them the biblical principles necessary to move toward a new government, new constitution, new government, based on biblical principles that would be free of bribery and corruption. Now, think of that, because all they have known from the Russian influence is corruption and bribery. That's just how they work it. And they know that that has prevented true freedom from occurring. That's prevented a lot of things from happening in that nation, which is really the most Christian nation remaining in all of Europe. So there is an interest there, and that nation is being pulled and tugged back and forth with Vladimir Putin, with Russia on the east, that's leaning on them to make changes in their new government that reflects favoritism to Russia and him. On the other hand, European socialists, European Union, are leaning on them and threatening to withhold their funding if they don't put things into their government that favors European socialism. So Russia threatens to cut off their heat during the wintertime. The European socialists threaten to cut off their funding. And the United States, as we said before, our administration is leaning on them heavily to interject homosexuality and same-sex marriage into their new government and constitution. And God has us kind of in the middle. The only ones providing the input towards what true freedom is, what a constitution ought to be and reflect, and they want something that looks like the United States Constitution. As they say, they don't want what America is, but they do want what America was, which, gentlemen, is an amazing statement. When you think about it, shows where we are of a country, but also shows the great inroads and opportunities God's placed before us who hold to biblical truth and constitutional knowledge and what they mean. It's been the light to the world for a long time, and they want it, and we're gladly being a part of it. So, you know, as we talk in this program, we try to highlight, you know, those things that we're seeing here in our country that's running from biblical principles and running from constitutional rule of law. And there are countries, though, who desperately want it, have never had it. So, Gary, we've got a lot of things going on, a lot of teaching, a lot of instruction. We're giving awards to a nationwide essay contest that we were a part of, 800 winners or 800 participants, high school seniors and college students, on why they need a new constitution that is based on absolute truth. And so that judging is being finalized, and winners are going to be awarded and recognized in very key prominent locations at one point next week. So when I get back, I think we'll have some good things to share.
Well, folks, we'd encourage you to pray for Sam as he goes over there, and another one of our men, Dale Armstrong, as well as others who will be involved with that. It's just a tremendous opportunity that the American Pastors Network has to work along with a country who wants to be like America was, a shining light to that part of the world. And we just need to pray that God continues to open doors of opportunity there. Talking about what America was, there was something that was in the news yesterday or the day before, and it just increased my concern about what's going on in America and really what's going on in the education system in America. And that is the fact that the Institutional Advisory Committee of the Hillsborough Community College in Tampa, Florida, has banned the Pledge of Allegiance after some students, some faculty and staff said it made them feel uncomfortable and violated their academic freedom. Well, the school's president says that the administration is not going to support that particular decision. But, Dave, I want to ask you, I mean, I know you're somewhat familiar with the Tampa Bay area down there in Florida. I'm not sure if you're familiar too much with Hillsborough Community College. But the question is, they say they did not want to pledge allegiance to the flag because it made them uncomfortable and violated their academic freedom. Number one, why should they be uncomfortable? And number two, how in the world is it connected to their academic freedom?
Well, Gary, those are two outstanding questions, and there is a third outstanding question, and I'm going to address the third one that we need to ask, and that's the president saying he does not, or his administration does not support their decision. Well, then he should disband that advisory committee council if he doesn't agree over this issue. They should not feel uncomfortable, and that with which they feel most comfortable, why don't they go find a country and go there and live if they don't feel comfortable here? No one should be allowed to teach in an American community college or university that feels uncomfortable with saying the Pledge of Allegiance or feels like their quote-unquote academic freedom is in some way being infringed by the Pledge of Allegiance. It is that pledge and all that it represents that affords them the liberty and freedom to even teach at that college. If that makes them uncomfortable, then they need to move to where they feel comfortable, and they shouldn't even be teaching in a United States university or community college. Gary, this is absurd. This is absolutely absurd. And if all the president is saying, and by the way, I'm very familiar with Hillsborough Community College, having been in Tampa for 2 years in a ministry, they're very familiar with the community college. If the current president there is just saying, I don't agree, but I'm not going to do anything about it, then he ought to step down and ought to be replaced. If what he means by I don't agree with what they're saying, he's going to do something about it, then he needs to. He's the president of the college. That's leadership.
Well, from what I understand, he was going to attend the next meeting that they had to try to straighten this thing up a little bit. But the question that comes to my mind, Sam, and we only have a few seconds here, but really, are we going to be seeing more of this as time goes on? Because we've got people in this country who, for some reason, don't like this country.
Gary, we have a lot of people in this country who don't like it here, starting at the very top, I believe, in Washington. But the fact of the matter is, tell me what part of it they can't say. What is it? Don't agree with one nation? Well, they want to divide it? Well, that tells them something. A nation? They don't want a nation? Under God. Maybe that's the problem. All of them, Gary, if they have a problem with it, just what Dave says, they ought to step aside and should not even be in that position.
And I would say that it probably has something to do with that phrase, under God. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, that's all one statement, one nation under God. There's no comma that divides that. And we can talk about that some other time. Well, we're going to take a break, but we will be back with more current news to discuss right here on this edition of Stand in the Gap Today. So don't go away. We will be back right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
His barn in Pennsylvania was a station on the Underground Railway, helping slaves escape to freedom. But on this day, October 16, 1859, John Brown and 21 men raided Harper's Ferry, Virginia. He was captured, sentenced, and hanged. Labeled insane by some, Louisa May Alcott, author of Little Women, called him St. John the Just. Years before, after hearing the story of how abolitionist publisher Elijah Lovejoy was murdered, John Brown stood up in the back of church and declared, "Here before God, in the presence of these witnesses, I consecrate my life to the destruction of slavery."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The release of a series of videos exposing terrible atrocities committed by Planned Parenthood in the name of reproductive health or the right to choose has awakened many to the truth of abortion and is stirring calls to restore protection for all innocent human life from conception until natural death. It's being described as a Wilberforce moment, so named for William Wilberforce, the British Member of Parliament, whose Christian faith led him to take a stand against the slave trade. On October 30th, we're hosting Eric Metaxas as the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet. Eric Metaxas is the best-selling biographer of Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, two men who demonstrated the duty of Christians to stand up against the evil in their day. For more information about our Friends of the Family Banquet, go to pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to encourage you, when you have the opportunity to do so, go to our website, that is our radio website, which is standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this and other radio programs produced by the American Pastors Network. But the reason why I do encourage you to go there is so that you can correspond with us. You will have the opportunity to do that there, and we invite that. We invite that a lot. And, of course, we would encourage you to do that. You can call into us here online, on the radio, I should say, on the telephone, but you just might want to write us a note, and you can do it there at Stand in the Gap Radio. By the way, our phone-in numbers are 1-877-667-1180. That's a toll-free number, 1-877-667-1180, or 610-539-8255 in the Philadelphia area. That's 610-539-8255. You know, men, people may not understand this, but when we come to the microphones here on Stand in the Gap today, it's not that we are looking for things to talk about, because things to talk about are all over the place. The real issue is what not to talk about when we come to this particular radio program. But there's one thing that I just want to tie into as it relates to our discussion with Scott Lively yesterday. And Dave, I'm going to go to you on this. And that is that the discussion came up yesterday on President Barack Obama's homosexual escapades. And, you know, we've talked about that. We've implied that in the past, that, you know, he's had some homosexual connections. Of course, you know, others have. I mean, I can remember years ago, you know, there's been some discussion on some of the connections that he's had with other men, sexually speaking. We've been told by a number of different sources who would be considered very, very good sources that many of his golf outings end up becoming homosexual connections, as it were. And, you know, we've known about this for quite some time, Dave. We've not talked a whole lot about it, but I guess you could say it's out right now. And by virtue of the fact that that is out, if nowhere else, at least right here in Stand in the Gap Radio, that just goes to show why it is that President Barack Obama is making some really idiotic decisions, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that those who are inclined towards homosexuality are without understanding. I'm wondering if you might comment on that just a little bit here today, Dave, as we go forward.
Well, Gary, with a broken heart, yes, I will comment on it. Yet what Scott Lively said yesterday, as an apologist, as a very highly trained academician and a lot of other things, for him to say what he said, and I felt like that's probably where he was going when I asked that question. I didn't know if he would say it as directly as he did, but I'm thankful that he did. But coming from him, Gary, it's now out on the table about our president's I guess our president's practices. Yes, we've known about this for some time. We've kind of danced around the topic a little bit, maybe implied that there were things maybe that were motivations in the president's life of a sexual nature that was behind some of the decisions that he was making. I think there are two important words that our listening audience needs to get thoroughly cemented into their head over the next year. And those two words are proclivities and loyalties. And what I mean by that is this: our president has certain sexual proclivities and they are bent toward homosexuality, and our president has certain loyalties and those are bent toward Islam. He is very Islamic friendly. I think Scott said it very, very, very well yesterday. He's not a practicing Muslim from the standpoint of practicing probably the five pillars of Islam on a regular basis. But Gary, there have been an overwhelming number of overtures in things that he has done that indicates that he does pray to Allah. He does practice at times. You know, those, some of the components, he is more than familiar with them. That is the background in which he grew up. His father and grandfather were both Sunni Muslim. He has never renounced any of that. So proclivities and loyalties are two words that our listening audience needs to get thoroughly into their mind, because our president, as he faces a departure from office, and there are some that question whether or not he will leave office, and that's probably a topic for another time. But as he faces all of that, Gary, if he has nothing to lose, which in some ways he does not, then these loyalties and these proclivities are going to become more pronounced the closer we get to 2016.
Well, they are. And of course, you know, you talk about whether or not he will leave office. Sam, in the Altoona, Pennsylvania area here where I live, I was listening to some morning radio talk shows, and there was one particular talk show where they were talking about the fact that after the first of the year, our president may issue martial law, and which means that, you know, there would not be a presidential election come fall. I know you don't really have any insight into whether or not he would do that. But, you know, the chance that he does it or that he might do it is something that a lot of people are thinking about today. Why do you think that is becoming such a topic in certain circles these days?
Well, Gary, I think let me come at it from an objective perspective. And I think as a part of our duty on this program is to present what is happening and to look at it from a biblical and constitutional perspective. That's where we're coming from, not to put in conjecture, but certainly to analyze. That's what part of our duty is. From a constitutional perspective, the only reason that those in government are held in check from running away and becoming full-fledged tyrants is simply because of their commitment to limit themselves according to two things. One, God's law, higher truth, and secondly, the Constitution, which is why all of those who serve take a constitutional oath. However, Gary, the reality of it is when we look at this administration and we look at Congress too, I'm going to broaden it here and say, what has been the measure of their action? What has been their efforts? What have they said literally with their mouth, and what have they done literally by their actions relative to upholding, supporting, defending the Constitution, or abiding by the limitations upon which the Constitution places them? And frankly, Gary, I'm hard pressed to find anything about this president or Congress that in any ways would lead me to believe at all that he has any respect for the Constitution. Literally, he has attempted to undercut it, telling Congress, I'm going to make law. I'm going to go around you. I'm going to call an agreement, a treaty, Iran bomb deal is their most recent example. I'm going to call it an agreement. I'm going to use executive orders. This is all a violation of the Constitution. So Gary, what steps between or what hinders someone who has no fear of law, believe that they are above the law, regularly violates their constitutional oath, what would restrain anyone from not doing what they can do under law? And I will say that legally, he has the ability to do it. What restrains someone to do that? And frankly, I think the history would indicate nothing restrains him. Therefore, that gives rise to speculation, to analysis, to a suspicion that that things like that could happen, which have never happened historically before, but could happen today. That's where I go objectively, Gary, and say, give me a reason why I should not consider these things. And I'm saying I'm hard-pressed to say that I see any restraint according to the Constitution right now.
Gary, I'm going to follow up with what Sam just said. That was an excellent, excellent dissertation that he just stated. John Adams said this, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate. Very important words, wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Our founders understood that the basis, the foundation of the Constitution was Judeo-Christian ethic. Our country kicked out the Judeo-Christian ethic long ago. So now we have a Constitution. If that Constitution's foundation was dismantled, should we be surprised that the Constitution itself is now in the process and has been for some time of being thoroughly, if not dismantled, thoroughly disregarded? So what Sam said, Gary, is so appropriate. There is nothing. Absolutely, there is no moral, certainly no biblical restraint that our president feels. There's no compulsion from that standpoint that he feels to not institute martial law, and there is certainly now no constitutional restraint that would keep him from instituting martial law. He has become a law unto himself. And so, Gary, we need to be discussing and thinking about this possibility, because as Sam said, there's absolutely nothing that would prevent him from attempting to do this.
Well, and, you know, I guess all that he would have to do, Sam, is basically do it as in the sense of an executive order. And there it is.
Well, Gary, it doesn't even – Congress has already given the authority. It's not – it doesn't have to be an executive order. They've already given the basis that if there is a crisis of some type, He can declare it. They've already given him those emergency powers, is the provision under which it's called, under emergency powers.
So all he really needs to do is come up with a crisis. And, of course, he can identify whatever that crisis is.
A manufactured crisis, gentlemen. A manufactured crisis. And like Sam said, he has the capability.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for America. We really do. This is no kidding. We need to pray for America. We're going to take a break, and then we will be back with more right after this. So please stay tuned to Stand at the Gap today.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. One of Hillary Clinton's closest aides, Huma Abedin, has been speaking to the House panel investigating the consulate attacks in Benghazi, Libya.
This closed-door session comes just a few weeks after two other top State Department aides to Clinton testified, and as a New York Republican is questioning the committee's motives. A Clinton campaign spokesman says it's unclear why the committee is focused on Abedin, given her lack of knowledge about the events surrounding Benghazi. Clinton herself will answer questions for the Benghazi committee in a public setting next week.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern in Washington, in the sky over the Syrian border.
A senior U.S. defense official confirming to Fox News Turkey shot down a Russian drone. Moscow denies this. Turkey's military says the aircraft violated its airspace and was brought down after three warnings were ignored.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher, midday on Wall Street. The Dow's up 20 points. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ended the last segment by saying it's important that we pray for America. And, you know, God always has a remnant. And when we talk about a remnant, we are talking about those who he has raised up to stand for him and to stand in the gap. That, of course, is what our title is here. Our name is Stand in the Gap Radio. And, of course, as a network, the American Pastors Network, that's what we attempt to do, and that's what we encourage others to do as well. But a part of that standing in the gap means to pray for our nation. And if there has ever been a time when the United States of America has needed prayer, it's today. Whether we are talking about the people down there in Hillsborough Community College in Tampa who say that the Pledge of Allegiance violates their academic freedom, or whether we are talking about a president of the United States who has no respect for our Constitution and who just can write executive orders at will, as it were, or even if it is as several years ago, we heard a congressman, I think he was from Florida, if I recall, stood up and basically said there on the floor of the House that the Constitution, the United States Constitution, doesn't mean much to him at all. And yet that's why he was there, to uphold the Constitution. And then, of course, you've got churches in which there are pastors who do not preach the whole counsel of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to paint a bad picture here, but I am trying to express reality. We are in a day and age where the United States of America needs more prayer than ever before, perhaps ever since our founders brought it together. David, I would think that back in the day when our founders were bringing this nation together, that from everything that we can read, there was a lot of prayer, seeking God's direction, seeking God's guidance, seeking God's understanding. And, you know, obviously, we see that God answered that prayer in bringing together a nation based upon the Judeo-Christian ethic. And yet, in recent times, we've gotten away from that. And so I believe that this is a time when we, as American citizens, as Christian American citizens, must pray for the United States of America, its leaders, its the people in the grassroots, people on every level, more now than ever before in our history.
Well, Gary, you're absolutely right. We need to pray, but we also, as preachers, and I want to say this to challenge all of our pastor friends and preacher friends that may be listening today, and we have a growing number that do listen. But not only pray, but Gary, we need to preach for repentance, if you understand what I'm saying. Not preach about it. We need to preach for it. There needs to be a clarion call from the pulpits of America for God's church to repent and to do so nationwide. Yesterday, our conversation with Scott Lively kind of touched on that. And the hope of America is this and only this, and that is a broad repentance, nationwide repentance on the part of God's people. And if God would have mercy on Nineveh, and on the nation of Assyria, when they repented according to the book of Jonah, then God would do the same in America. But anything short of that, gentlemen, and we're done.
You know, that's true. And Sam, when we talk about the situation with Nineveh, when we look back in the biblical history, we find that, you know, Nineveh had become a wicked city. And under the preaching of Jonah, repented and got right with God. But 100 years later or so, it had once again fallen back into its wicked ways. And in the days of Nahum, you know, they had really turned against the Lord, and consequently, judgment came upon them. And we talked yesterday about the fact that the United States of America is in a Nineveh situation right now. Why don't you elaborate upon that just a little bit more?
Well, Gary, be glad. I think the example of Nineveh was brought up. You've referred to it. I would draw a distinction here, which puts more burden on us than Nineveh. Nineveh was never a righteous city. That's why Jonah didn't want to go there, because they were horribly mean and cruel, just like the ISIS members of the Middle East today. They were ferocious people. And they were the last ones you'd think that would have any kind of repentance, but that was there to demonstrate the mercy of God, and how that even the worst can turn to Him and God will take them in. But you know, when a nation like Israel, who have experienced God's blessing, have purposely, visibly, verbally espoused, just like our declaration we talked about at the beginning of the program, one nation under God. That's a part of their culture, their law, their language. When a nation of that type, having once embraced all that God is and His truth, walk away from it purposely, and go down that road for a long time and then finally get themselves in a position where as a nation, as we've talked about in this program, embrace, for instance, the sin of homosexuality as an example, there is something that is far different. And I believe, as I read from Scripture, almost more difficult for that nation, having once heard and rejected, than from a Nineveh who perhaps never ever had it. Now, God's mercy extends to both. Anyone, if they repent of their sin and turn to God, he will hear them, and that personal prayer will be revealed. So God will bring in and heal and redeem the worst of sinners. But nations fall under a type of judgment of God that seems to move through a stage or a transitions. And I think that God's been warning our nation, unlike he's warned Nineveh perhaps, but he's been warning us for a long time, like he warned Israel of old. But we've put our fingers in our ears and we've covered our eyes and said, we're just going to go ahead and do what we want to do as a nation. And so as we talk here, and God has his remnant of people who hear and understand and have a sensitivity to these things that we're talking about here. We unfortunately have many at the very top in the structures of government who are hard of hearing and hard of heart. And God is therefore dealing with this nation as represented by them, and we are all a part of it. So I put that out there, Gary, as a part of the whole consideration that we are in very serious times. It's not like we can just say, well, let's wait around 5 years and see what happens. We don't have 5 years to wait around. God is making it very, very clear to us right now. We are in trouble until we turn to him. That's why it's got to be now, not tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and that's why we have got to make it a personal matter, too, not just say others have got to do it. We've got to make it a personal matter. I often think of the passage of Scripture where Peter says it's time the judgment begins at the house of God. But you know, we need to look at ourselves individually, you know, as individual Christians. What have we tolerated? What sin do we allow in our own lives and things along that line? Dave, as a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for over 30 years— if you were to give a formula, and I'm going to zero it in on pastors right now, because we talk a lot about pastors and how pastors have the responsibility to proclaim the truth and so forth. If I want to invite you to talk to the pastors who are in our audience right now and give them a formula that they should follow that would lead this nation back to repentance. You said in the previous statement that we must not just talk about repentance, we must preach repentance. Give that formula so that a pastor out there wondering what can do can go to his pulpit on Sunday morning and follow through with that which we believe must be done.
Well, Gary, I think I would take pastors and direct them to a very familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, it's so familiar that that may be part of the problem. We've heard it so much that sometimes we lose the impact and the import of what it is saying. And that is 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse 13 and 14. God said, if I shut up the heavens that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And verse 15 goes on and says this, now mine eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is offered in this place. And I understand the context was Israel, and Solomon was standing on a large platform, and they were dedicating to the Lord the new temple. And I understand the context, but I believe the principle in its application can be very broadly applied. The answer, Gary, is found, and the formula is found in that verse. God had shut up the rain against his people. He had given the land over to being devoured. There were pestilences coming among his people. But he said, if any of those things happen, at whatever point my people will humble themselves, then this is what I will do. Well, the charge has to be led by pastors. We have biblical history. We have the history of this country that is replete with examples of pastoral leadership leading their congregations in this direction. So I would say to the pastors, if you're afraid at this point to speak in a clarion way, in a crystal clear way, if you're afraid now, when will you ever speak? When will you ever declare this kind of message? When will you ever call God's people to a place of repentance? If not now, then gentlemen, I fear it'll never happen. So this is what I would say to the pastors, Gary.
Well, you know, I think that that's a good formula to give. And it's interesting, you know, when you study the scripture, words are put where they are for significance. And as I look at that 2 Chronicles 7:14 passage, I often say that if we humble ourselves, that will lead to prayer, which will lead to seeking God's will, which will lead to repentance. And that certainly is the call that we must put out upon the nation today. We will return with more, ladies and gentlemen, right after this, so don't go away.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Scripture gives us perhaps the greatest example of fire-tested faith in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith was real. The lesson for us today is real. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. When confronted with a national law commanding them to fall down and worship an idol or be killed, these government officials decided to do what every government official and citizen should do. They respectfully disobeyed the evil law and obeyed God's higher law. To the king they said, O king, we cannot obey your command. We serve God, the king above all kings. While we don't know if he'll save us from your hand, we know he can, and we're willing to die before we bow. Their decision was predetermined and unchanging. Their faith in God was unmovable. Their commitment to obedience was greater than their fear of death. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, is your faith only good when times are good, or will it take you through the fire?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, you know, when it comes down to it, we must face the reality that those of us who know the truth, whether we be pastors in the pulpit or people in the pew, we must live out the truth. We must proclaim the truth. We must stand for the truth. And we must share the truth at every opportunity. In fact, we must earnestly contend for the faith, as Jude said, which means that, you know, when we see that the truth is being violated, we must do what we can to correct it according to the Word of God and according to the United States Constitution as it relates to our nation. We want to go to Mac. Mac has a comment. Mac is one who called in earlier and talked about a march on Washington, I think, and we want to go to Mac. Mac, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us today, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. I left a message with you. I called your church, left a message with your secretary specifically about getting with you and Pastor Dahl and Brother Kistler about trying to get this started. But it's interesting that, about the march, and it's interesting you'd mention that verse. I call that God's logic circuit. In electronics, you have what you call, you have different gates. You have to have the signal. You have one called an end gate. You have to signal here and here and here and here. Mm-hmm. And in Chronicles, it's like a gate. You have to have, if my people, which are called myself, shall humble themselves, one, and pray, and seek my face and turn from wicked ways, then will I hear. So you have to have all these four things, and then you get an answer out. And I was just sharing that with somebody. That's when you get revival. And it's amazing. You humble yourselves. God, you're right. I'm wrong. You pray. Lord, show me. You seek his face and his word. Then God nails you something on his word, something you're doing that you shouldn't be doing or you're not doing you should be. And then you make a change. And then when that happens, then you get a signal out from God. And it's a great verse. I was thinking of it when Pastor Kistler had mentioned it, and it's all good. And I'd like to eventually see you and plan this march, because if ever a time it's needed now. And I'm talking it up around here, and I might even maybe get the school around here, which is very patriotic, Marple Newtown, to some of the kids involved in it. So,
well, I think that's good, Mac, and certainly, like we said before, you know, we'll stand with you on that and whatever we can do. But I like your expression or your explanation there, 2 Chronicles 7:14, from a circuit logic circuit point of view. But those concepts, you know, are so significant as it relates to personal or church or national revival. It starts with humility, which leads to prayerfulness, which leads to seeking God's will, which does lead to repentance. And, you know, if we don't get back to that, Sam, there's no question about it. If we don't get back to that, we are going to see this nation suffer even as did Sodom and Gomorrah. We have that warning from Scripture.
Gary, we do, and in the immediate chapter before 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is chapter 6, which is really where Solomon made his prayers to God, and he laid out seven different scenarios. If my people walk away and do this and do this, and then God warns, you send the rain, or you send the drought, or you send the pestilence, those things walk through. Gary, we're through that circumstance now, up to the very end. The very last judgment of God on a nation is ultimately war, where war then takes and tears apart the nation, and it ceases to be. That's God's ultimate judgment. All of the precursors, all of the things that have led up to that, we have been, in fact, experiencing for a long time. So anything that God does for us, that does us as a nation, will not ever be, no one will ever be able to say, you didn't warn me, or I didn't know, or why was that such a reaction, God? I thought you were merciful. God has been so merciful. But then it's in that context that then God walks in and says, now, after, when I send the, as what Dave said, when I withhold the rain and I send the, then after I do these things, after you see these things, then if my people humble themselves and pray. And I've wondered, Gary, for a long time, when we oftentimes use that verse, but I don't think many times in most of our churches of America, we speak enough about how God speaks. We don't even recognize that those warnings are from Him. They're not global warming. They're not man-made. They're God's warnings to us. If we don't understand how God speaks, how do we understand what He's going to say? So we're in a very critical time. The clock is way down the road. It is. It really is. And so that's why it's so critical important that the pulpits of America begin to flame with the preaching of righteousness. And once again, and God's people understand that what that verse means, it's them. If you have a sensitivity in your heart, then we are the ones who need to respond, and now.
Absolutely. Mac, I want to thank you very, very much for your call. We appreciate you, sir. Thanks for calling. And Dave, you know, it's interesting. Sam basically said there that many times God can speak and we don't even recognize it because we don't know how He speaks. And, you know, when we look around us in this nation, we can see there has been a lot of things taking place in the weather. Is it not true that the Word of God teaches that one of the ways that God shows Himself and indeed does even bring judgment is through the changing of the weather conditions?
Well, Gary, it is. You know, we've recited in times past the passage in Nahum 1 where the scripture says, the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. But I think what Sam said is so important. The topic of judgment is so unpopular in most American pulpits that most preachers don't even want to broach the subject. My people will be frightened. My people will, you know, be this. My people will be that. We've got to stop worrying about what people think and become consumed by what is God's opinion about all of this. And we must declare what Sam just said. There is a litany, and he mentioned all of those things that are indicators of God's judgment coming on a nation, and they are very clear. They're crystal clear. And the sad tragedy, the sad reality is this. Most of the American church knows nothing of that. So it is imperative. It's absolutely essential that God's preachers return to some of these Old Testament passages, which, again, in and of itself is a topic for another time. Very little preaching on some of these Old Testament, especially judgment passages. But we need to return to those and just say, look, this is what God says. Here is the solution, and there is a solution. There is hope out there if we will hear God's message and then respond in repentance accordingly.
Well, yeah, and 2 Chronicles 7:14 is that message of hope. Sam, 15 seconds. I'll give you the last word.
Gary, when truth is identified, our responsibility is to respond to it. God is more concerned about our obedience than He is any of our sacrifice. We need to obey, commit, and obey to what He says.
Obedience is better than sacrifice, and rebellion is as the sin of what, men?
Witchcraft.
And what a warning that is. Well, Sam, you enjoy yourself over in Ukraine. Tell them all we said hi over there. We'll be praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, the Lord willing, we will be back with you again on Monday. So have a great weekend. Go to a good, solid, Bible-believing church on Sunday. And the Lord willing, we will see you Monday with another edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.